Hello and welcome to Sangam Lit. This is Nandini Karki, and in this episode we marvel at the persuasive skills depicted in Sangam literary work Nattrinay 61, written by Sirumoliganar, his only poem in Sangam literature. Set in the lush mountain country of Kurunji, the poem speaks in the words of the lady's confidant to the lady, passing on a hidden message to the man listening nearby. Kelai yella tholi algal venava naliya veya uira eman pinayin varundinanaga tuyar marangu arindanal pola annai tunjayu en kurumagal endralin sol velippadamai mella en nenjil படுமலை பொழிந்த பாறை மருங்கில் சிரல்வாய் உற்ற தளவின் பரல் அவள் காண்களு நாடர் படர்ந்தோர்க்கு கண்ணும் படுமோ என்றிசின் யானே. A song that has you at hello, for it starts with the inviting word kelai, meaning listen. With that one word command, the poem reels you into the narration. I discovered a new word for night in Alghal and another curious one-letter Tamil word for arrow, A. It seems to shoot sharp and straight from the lexicon to a word lover's heart. The word marungu is used in two different meanings in the expanse of this tiny verse. One following tuyar or sadness, meaning the limits or extent, and another following pare or rock, meaning by the side. The final word to fascinate me in this poem is padarndorku. Generally, padardal means to spread, but I learned that here it means to think of. Don't you think there is a thick connection in that when one is lost in the thought of someone or something, it feels as if that has spread and covered the whole of their mind, and so we find the meanings meet. Speaking of meetings, the man arrives for his tryst with the lady during the day. Knowing that he is listening nearby, the lady's confidant turns to the lady and says, "Listen, my dear friend, last night, due to my soaring desire, filled with distress, I let out hot sighs, saddened like a female deer hit by an arrow. As if she understood the extent of my pain, mother asked me, 'Can you not sleep, my little girl?' Without letting out the words that arose to my lips, I said softly to myself, 'By the sides of rocks on which thunderous rain had poured, blooms the buds of the talavu flowers, resembling the bill of a cirrhal bird on a land paved with tiny stones. From such a land filled with forests comes our Lord of the Mountains. Those who have him in their thoughts, can their eyes see sleep ever?' That was what I said." Please do not wonder why the confidant is speaking of her distress and love instead of the lady's. As we have seen in Nattrinay 28, this is a case wherein the confidant speaks in the voice of the lady. This is to pass on a message to the man that mother is growing conscious of the distress in the lady and she may confine her to the house. Hence, the man must make haste and seek the lady's hand in marriage. Now let's explore the little nuances in this poem. First is the expression veya uira, which means hot breath. The interesting detail here is that the word uir found in this expression means life, and I think it's a deep spiritual understanding in these ancients to equate breath and life. Then we meet with the first simile in the poem. The sadness of the female deer hurt by an arrow is akin to the sadness the lady feels at being away from her man. Like the deer sends out hot breaths to heal and calm itself, so does the lady in the middle of the night. All this noisy breathing wakes Mama Deer. She turns to the lady and, as if understanding the full extent of her pain, she asks her why sleep eludes her. Just at that moment, the lady does a thing that most of us would have done at some point in our lives. Sol velippadamai, mella en nenjil, meaning not letting the word slip out and softly just to my heart, is how the lady responds to mother's concerned query. In an exquisite description of the mountain country to which the Lord belongs, the land is brought before our eyes. Heavy rains have poured on the rocky mountain country. By the side of the rocks blooms the thalavu, or the pink jasmine flowers, resembling the beak of the cyril bird or the kingfisher. Searching for images of this flower and that bird, I came away once again stunned by the acute observational skills of ancient Tamil poets. Let me tell you about the thalavu flowers first. These belong to the mullai or the wild jasmine family. Usually jasmines are white, and what on earth could they have in common with kingfishers, you may wonder. Thalavu flowers are different because their thalam or base is different from the other variety. In this case, they have a pink color, and as a bud, these flowers bulge out just a little and end in a sharp tip. Coming to our kingfisher, especially in the Indian variety, I find so many with the same pinkish beak, bulging and ending in a sharp tip. So many words I have used to relate this bird and that flower, but the ancients simply say kingfisher-mouthed jasmine bud. And hey, like that A, sharp hits the word arrow. Why this particular simile to describe the land of the Lord? Perhaps a cue to point out that even in this rock-filled, rain-pouring, hard mountain country, the jasmine plant takes root and blooms into those lovely flowers. Likewise, the man, by seeking a formal union with the lady, would make happiness bloom forever in her heart. Poetic persuasion at its subtle best. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and minds. Please do visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts, and do rate and review Sangam Lit on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, Nandri Vanakkam.